just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic, common sense, compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. It is Saturday, and we've got a different kind of show, an interesting kind of show. We have a guest. Now, typically, the guests I have on the show are either Ed or listeners, and this time it's different. I have a candidate for the House of Representatives. Now, you're probably wondering, there's a lot of candidates for the House of Representatives, but this one's kind of special. This one is the young woman that is going to be running against Jim Jordan. And you all know how I hate that motherfucker. So Abe Gurka was on the show a while back, and he recommended I talk to this woman. And I said, hell yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So we have as a guest today, Tammy Wilson, who is from Ohio, and she is running against Jim Jordan in the 4th District in Ohio. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, give us a background of who you are so we know what we're getting into here. I mean, what were you doing before you were running for the House of Representatives?
I've been an entrepreneur for 23, 24 years, and but that was kind of my side hustle. I've also been in sales for like 30 years. And, 2021 came around, and I had just launched a new business in 2019. Well, then the pandemic happened and I had to shut it down. Right. I lost a ton of money and I did not qualify for any of the COVID relief assistance that they were offering because of I just started the business, so I'd taken a tax loss. I didn't have any employees. It was just me. So the way that they had the funding structured was not, small entrepreneur friendly.
Right.
And it was at that moment that I, they always talk about, oh, small business is the backbone of America. Well, small business to them is probably like, 50 or 100 employees or something, but it's right. Not your normal, one woman, one man show or mom and pop, joint or something at the corner, restaurant or something. You know what I mean? So that was when I really realized just how far removed our government is. Their policies might look good on paper, but how it actually affects the average American is a complete different story. And we watched George Floyd get murdered on TV, and the rise in racism with Trump, and just everything. It just felt like just so much had just happened. And Rob Portman said he wasn't going to run for another term. He was the senator here in Ohio, and I was sitting there screaming at the news, like all of us do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I said, oh, I should run. Yeah, right. And so it was, I just said, I should run. And it was like, as soon as I released the words, my whole life really kind of flashed before me. And, I was married to a Marine for like 10 years. So I know the military life. I'm the granddaughter of a World War II veteran. I grew up a very patriotic family. I have two uncles named after Democratic presidents. And I mean, they have their whole name. And, I'm a biracial woman, a small business owner, single mom. My son is 18 and out of the house now, so I don't have any babies at home. And, my mom, she's got cancer. My uncle had polio. I just check off a lot of boxes. And I just thought about my life, and I thought, I can give voice to a lot of people. And with my sales background, my psychology background, my marketing background, I just really felt that I would be a really good candidate, to really help move the needle and help unite our country. The division and the hate and it all really bothers me. Where are we headed if we continue down the hate train? that is not the America I grew up in, and it's definitely not the one that I want for, you know, my son or anyone else's child to, you know, have to endure. So,
well, as a country, we've pretty much gotten lost in the last 7 or 8 years. We didn't always have best things going our way, but it's really gotten bad as far as the adversarialness of the two parties and such. And what you describe in deciding to become a candidate for the House of Representatives is the essence, what our forefathers actually envisioned for people representing this country. Somebody who is working, somebody who's like you and me and everybody else, trying to make a living, struggling, not getting the most help, and saying, hey, I want to go be elected to a position so maybe I can do some good for the people that I represent. Right. And when I say that represent, I mean,
we've really lost that.
Yeah, we really have lost that. We've got a bunch of people in office that are basically acting like royalty or elites. And that brings us to you decide to run. You happen to be in the district and you're going to run against Jim Jordan. And when I heard that, I thought, well, somebody fucking needs to.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah. So what had happened was I first started to run for Senate, and then Tim Ryan announced he was going to run for Senate. And so I backed out because I know I knew the Democrats would support me. I was a no name. You know, I've never been in politics, but I am a get it done woman. So I thought, well, you know, I need to do something here because I do not like what's going on. And then so at first, when I chose to run for the House, I was originally running against Troy Balderson. And then with the gerrymandering in Ohio, the maps changed in November of 2021. And so that is when I was drawn into Jim Jordan's district. And I was like, holy shit. And then I was like, all right, let's go. And so the maps changed in November. They changed again in January, again in March. They had to move our primary because they waited so long to change these maps. And so they changed the maps again in March, and then they moved our primary to May. So I literally had like 30, 45 days to canvass this whole new 13 county district. I mean, it was just insane. But luckily I won my primary. So happy about that. And so here we are this round again with the same, and they deemed those maps unconstitutional, and but we're still voting on them today because they still haven't fixed them.
Now, in the first election, you lost to Jim Jordan. I guess nobody would be surprised by that for how long he's been in office, the money he can raise, and the fact that you were kind of had short order to put this all together. It's not surprising. Jim Jordan's been in office for 17 years and hasn't done a goddamn thing, but he's kind of a mainstay in that part of the state.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The maps, 53% of the district is new to Jim Jordan. So a lot of people did not know who he was. I was so amazed by this. And I was like, how do you not know who this guy is? You live under a rock, you know, obviously. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the district is rural, so they don't get regular TV. A lot of people are streaming television. They don't watch the regular local news. It's really interesting. But like I said, no one knew who I was because I've never been in politics before. But the wonderful thing about Jim Jordan is that he doesn't do anything.
Right.
And the people that do know about him don't like him. His base is very small, believe it or not. And so there are just so many opportunities. I have no doubt that I'm going to beat him this time. He used my messaging last time, by the way, which made no sense because I was like, you know, government is too far removed from the average person, you know, to know what's going on to actually help us. And he doesn't do anything to help anyone. And the more that I've been on the campaign trail and, you know, I'm writing 9 bills right now. He wrote his first bill last year, his first one in 17 years. And so it's really interesting.
Well, it tells you a lot about the man. If he's been in office for 17 years and he wrote his first bill last year, What the hell did he go
there
for?
And I know that's because we're always hammering him. My team, you know, I have this awesome X team. I call them my X-Men on X or Twitter. And, you know, we're always hammering him for being a do-nothing representative. And so with their reach, they have over like 5 million, you know, followers that they touch with their influence. And, you know, we're always hammering him for being such a do nothing. And so he wrote his first bill last year. So I take credit for that.
Yeah, you're probably right. He didn't want to go into this, somebody repeating the fact that he hasn't done anything. Yeah, I did. I just wrote a bill. Yeah, I can see it now. Tell me something. I realize you're in the district, you're out of the district, you're in the district because of the gerrymandering and all that stuff. How does a guy like Jim Jordan get elected in a district, regardless of it's, whether it's all red or not? I mean, you have to be literally uninformed or part of the scam to vote for this guy.
Yeah. So I don't know how familiar you are or your viewers are of the OSU sexual abuse scandal.
Oh, we're well aware.
So Jim Jordan was the he was like a all-star wrestler when he was in school. And so a lot of people view him as the hometown hero. And, you know, a lot of men, and you know, you're a guy, you know, when men talk, they talk sports. When you're doing analogies, they do sports analogies, right? And so he is that, you know, that jock that guys kind of relate to, you know. But if you go past the surface, I always say he's like lipstick on a pig. Yeah. If you go beneath the surface, his character is just not the all-American character that we would want representing us. So I think that has a lot to do with it. He actually was a state representative here at the Ohio House. They couldn't stand him there either. And, you know, they pretty much kind of kicked him out. And that's when he started running for federal office. And, you know, here he is in the federal and he doesn't do anything there either. So it does have a lot to do with people not knowing anything about him. They are not aware of how much he doesn't do for them. They are all about the show. And he knows that. That's why he doesn't wear a jacket.
Right.
He's the show pony. And I say this all the time. I'm like, he's the show pony. I am the workhorse. Who do you want working for you? You know? And so he doesn't wear the jacket. He's got his sleeves rolled up like he's really working really hard. And, you know, he looks the part, you know, if that's all you're looking at. But as far as if you look beneath the surface, there's nothing there. There's no substance. There is, you know, so it's really about the show. And people are buying the show. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean,
I will push back on something as far as him being the show pony. That's the ugliest motherfucking show pony I've ever goddamn seen.
Yeah.
Well, but, and I would give anything. I would give anything to interview this guy because just short of Donald Trump, he's got to be the dumbest human being I've ever seen. What's got to have, I mean, when you ran against him in 2022, you lost pretty handily, and that was kind of expected given his status and you're new to this thing. But now in 2024, you're feeling pretty confident about it. What in your mind is different this time than last time?
Well, you know, when you're running for office as a Democrat, you're on your own. You are not really given a playbook of this is what you do from A to Z. This is how you run a campaign. This is who you need to contact to help you. You know, I had a lot of poachers with my last campaign, people that just wanted to hop in and take advantage of me as much as they could. And, you know, once I realized what was going on, you know, I'd had to fire them. And I mean, it was crazy. And I did not, I had at least enough business sense to get by, But I didn't have enough political campaign sense to be as effective as I am this time. So I had a good game plan, but I just didn't have the team to pull it off like I wanted to last time. This time I do. You know, it's a whole different ballgame. Last time I didn't even raise $200,000. I mean, this time we're, I think we're at 600,000 at least right now. It's a whole different ball game. I mean, it's, I know what I'm doing now. I have a really good team. I have really good advisors that are honest. And I've been working for 3 years. I've been working 3 years, 24/7. I mean, I never take a day off. All I do is this campaign. It's all I do. It's all I think about. It's all I focus on. I strategize. I re-strategize. I'm constantly thinking, what do I need to do to take this man out? I mean, that's all I think about every single day, all night. I mean, I don't go to bed till 2, 3 in the morning. And then I get up at, you know, 6, 7, 8. And that's all I work on. And so 3 years, I've been building relationships and alliances with not just Democrats, but also independents and Republicans, because I'm smart enough to know I'm going to need their vote, you know. But I've also been meeting with people. I've been solving problems. I'm writing 9 bills right now. He just wrote his first one, and it was something stupid. And, you know, but I care about people. And when people meet me, they know that I care. They can feel the sincerity, you know, that I'm conveying. They know that I am serious. They know that I care about them, that I want them and their families to have a better life. I mean, that is the whole reason why I'm running. I did not set out to run for office to run against Jim Jordan. That was just something that just kind of came down my path. And I was like, okay, I will do that.
Well, you mentioned the map. You mentioned the map and the gerrymandering. Is the map different now than it was in 2022?
No, they have not changed the map. We are still working with the same unconstitutional maps that we had in 2022 because they haven't done anything about it. I mean, the Ohio politics is very corrupt. I mean, the head of the GOP, he was sent to prison. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the one thing you have to have found out. I've been in some businesses too where I found some things out, but politics is an incredibly dirty, cutthroat, backstabbing business. I'm guessing you found that out already.
Yeah.
And yet you're still doing it. I give you credit
Yeah,
for sticking in it.
It's so me. It's everything I love. I'm like, oh my God, I found myself.
Right.
I love talking with people. I love solving problems. I love getting things done. I cannot stand. I'm like, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? And it's like so simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, my bills are like maybe 1.5 pages. It's not 5,000 pages. You know
right.
what I mean? Let's keep it simple, stupid. So, no, I love it. I absolutely love it.
You know, the one issue that I think is the tipping point for Republicans is the Roe v. Wade issue, the abortion issue. I think if anything sinks it for the Republicans in November, it's that one issue. And now they've got all kinds of other issues that have problems. And this is why I'm convinced that there is no Republican that can beat Joe Biden as for the presidency. It just doesn't make any logical sense based on the facts. How has the abortion issue come into play in your campaign? Especially, you know, you got Jim Jordan. These people want a national abortion ban, but then you have the vote in Ohio, and the citizens of Ohio, regardless of how red they are, said, fuck you. No, we're keeping abortion legal. How is that playing out in your state and with your campaign?
Yeah, so it is very important. It is not the only thing that I'm running on. It's not the only thing I talk about. I think I leaned a little too much into that last time, and I think I learned my lesson with that.
Okay.
So, you know, the main concern, I am really, my campaign is focused on, you know, economic growth and development. I want to bring jobs to the district. I want to help with affordable housing, you know, the real kitchen table issues that are really important to people that really affect you know, everyone's lives. Yes, I am pro-choice. I think a woman should have dominion over her own body and her own health care. I don't think the government should be involved in that. But I'll tell you the thing that really bothers me, and it is the new Republican soundbite that they're going with, which is women shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Yeah.
And
how do they think that's going to help? How do they think that's going to help?
Well, whoever thought they would turn over Roe v. Wade?
Yeah,
I never thought that.
No, that's stupid.
So I'm like, what? You know, now they're talking about taking women's voting rights away. And, you know, we have this rise in the this Christian nationalist group, which the FBI deems as a domestic terrorist group, by the way. Domestic terrorism is a part of my platform. So I've spoken with domestic terrorist experts. I went through the FBI training about domestic terrorism. We have 9 domestic terrorist groups in the U.S. And actually, one of the guys that ran for office here in Ohio, he just did a documentary about domestic terrorism. It's called Against All Enemies. You have to watch it.
I'll check it out.
I'm telling you, it will shake you to your core. It's called Against All Enemies. You can get it on Apple. You can watch the trailer on YouTube. But they talk about how these groups are recruiting veterans to join these militia groups. I mean, wow, it's just so disturbing. But, you know, I'm worried about those things. I am worried about, you know, protecting everyone's rights. I feel everyone should feel, you know, represented, respected, safe in their own neighborhood. You know, I went to Daniel Goleman. He had a talk about all of the rise in hate crimes and violence against Jews and Asians in New York. And, you know, they had Homeland Security there. The FBI was there. NYPD was there. And, you know, it was heartbreaking to hear these people say they were scared to walk down the sidewalk in their own neighborhood. It was terrifying to hear the Asian community say that they're suffering from PTSD, you know, from that woman being thrown in front of the subway. I never thought that we would be here. I never thought we would be here in my lifetime. I'm just really in shock.
I never thought that either. You know, I've lived a long time. I'm 64 years old. I went through the 60s and the 70s, and we went through some bad times, and we always found ourselves outside of it. We always got by it, and we will get by this too. But it sounds like you and I are on the same page as to why we do what we do. I started doing the TikTok thing because I was retired, and the podcast thing because I was retired. And I saw what was going on. I knew as an old man I was going to be fine, but I'm not so sure about my kids and my grandkids. So I feel like I need to do something, anything, whether it's valuable or not, just to do something to hopefully make things better for my descendants. And I'm guessing that's kind of what you're doing too. I mean, you're a younger woman than I am. You still have some life to live, but you really want to make a difference in the future.
How old do you think I am? How old do you think I am?
That's a bad question to ask. I don't know, 45.
Huh?
45?
What?
I'm guessing here.
I'll be 52. I'll be 52 May 2nd.
Well, you don't look 52. And frankly, when you're 64 years old, 52 ain't shit. You're still young. I remember when I was 52. No, I'm just kidding. I don't remember a thing from 52. But it sounds like your heart's in the right place. You want to make the future of this country a better place, or at least bring it back to what it once was. I mean, this country, by way of Donald Trump, MAGA, the Jim Jordans, the Marjorie Taylor Greens, they've absolutely fucking trashed this country over the last 7 or 8 years, and they've been allowed to do it.
They've ruined the country. I know. Yeah, I agree. It infuriates me that on January 7th, they didn't kick those people out of Congress.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always calling or texting Jamie Rask. I'm like, why didn't they kick them out? You know, I'm like, why do you expel these people? And it's just that it's just infuriating to me. Why hasn't someone written the bill? You can't be president if you've been indicted 91 times or,
Right.
I don't know, you know, something, you know.
You know, one of the things I've complained about with regards to Donald Trump in the presidency and apparently in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, we've always been led to believe that norms and laws and rules had a lot of teeth. But when Donald Trump came into office and the MAGA fucks were in the House of Representatives, we realized there is no teeth. There are no norms that can't be stepped over, and there's no ramifications if you do. I mean, who would ever think that you get subpoenaed from Congress and you don't go because you don't feel like
it? Yeah, and not go.
And your opponent did exactly that. Looks like we jammed up a bit. Hopefully we'll get things moving again. We've got a little bit of a delay here. We had a delay in the first place. So you folks listening, just hang with me here. I think we'll be okay. She may have to come back in and come back out, or come back in after coming back out, but we'll see what happens here. I'm talking to, are you back?
There you are.
Okay. I had to fill some time. Fortunately, I'm good at talking with quantity, not so much with quality, but I can talk my ass off for as long as I need to talk. But I don't know, where were we again? We were,
talking about the subpoenas. Yeah. I just cannot believe he didn't comply with the subpoena, and, you know, and then he wants to call people out for not complying with their subpoena. And it's like, you didn't comply with your subpoena. Who are you to, you know, comment about someone else? I mean, I've never even heard that before. Have you ever even heard of someone not complying with the subpoena? I mean,
No. I don't know if you heard, though, there's a couple other reps that just got a subpoena that they probably won't pass on. Arizona's doing an investigation into the fake electors, and they're looking at possibly doing some indictments. It's going to go to the grand jury. They just subpoenaed Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar. They want them to come down there and testify. And I'm thinking they might be on the list of indictees, too.
That would be great. That would be great. That Paul Gosar, he's another one.
Yeah. Well, what is it about the House of Representatives? You got a lot of fucking goofballs in there. I mean, you got bad guys and bad women in the Senate, but in the House, it's just like the cantina in Star Wars in that motherfucker.
I think there's like 165 now that don't believe that the election was, they believe the election was stolen. I mean, that's what happens when you don't hold people accountable. And that's the stuff that drives me nuts. You know, right. We wouldn't be in this position had they held those people accountable, if they have held, you know, Trump accountable, you know, when it happened. And here we are, you know, and I don't know. I think a little farther down the line, I really feel I have a strategic mind. So I can, you know, I see the bigger picture quicker than other people. So again, I think that's why I would be a good representative, because I would say, you know, we have to hold these people accountable, because if we don't, this or this might happen, you know. So,
well, as a parent,
I don't know.
And I know you're a parent. We know that if we don't hold our kids accountable, first of all, we'll be going to the principal's office all the time. And then when they get out of school, we'll be going bailing them out of jail. Somebody's got to be accountable for everything they do. And we've been proven right in this situation, because every time they're not held accountable, they take it to a new level and do something even crazier. And that's, you know, when you walk into the House of Representatives, when you beat Jim Jordan, it's going to feel weird, because there's a lot of people that don't have the integrity that you might have, or that other people might have. It's going to take some acclimation once you get in there.
Right. I've already started doing that. I've already started building relationships with different reps. You know,
on every show, I tell you that if you have questions, comments, or complaints, just reach out to me at rationalboomer@gmail.com. Those emails come directly to me, and your input is crucial to this show. The show is called Rational Boomer Podcast, but that's not to suggest that I'm the rational boomer. I am not. I am simply a rational boomer. All of you are rational boomers. Anybody of a like mind is a rational boomer. Strength comes in numbers and not through an individual. You have perceptions and insights that may have never occurred to me. This isn't a show about me. This is a show about us and gaining a voice in this country. There's 70 million baby boomers in this country. Yeah, I know the younger folks would prefer to push us aside. Every generation has done that. But we are a formidable force if we can get together and speak in one voice. This is why I encourage you to let your friends and family know about the Rational Boomer Podcast, not to satisfy my ego, but to give us more power, a stronger voice, to help right this ship we call the United States of America. Lastly, I'm offering the opportunity for my listeners to be on the show. Now, it could be 2 minutes, it could be a half hour, it could be the whole fucking show. I'd much rather have you on the show than somebody pimping a podcast or a book. I want to hear what you think. I want to know what you know. The Rational Boomer Podcast is all about us. We're back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. We have the good fortune to having Tammy Wilson with us. She is a candidate for the House of Representatives in Ohio. She just happens to be running against Jim Jordan, and we hate Jim Jordan. So naturally, you're a friend of the show and all of us listening, whether we're from Ohio or not. We can pound on Jim Jordan.
It's a national fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a national fight. In all honesty, Jim Jordan had a huge impact on this country, at least the perception of this country. I asked you about the difference between the maps and what's difference between the last time you ran against him and now. I got to think that in your mind, the perception of Jim Jordan has to have gotten worse. I mean, with all these hearings and all this ridiculous shit and no evidence and no witnesses and witnesses that go to jail, I swear to God, Jim Jordan has a embarrassment kink because he just embarrasses himself every day, all freaking day. And that's got to help your case.
I love it. Yeah, it's awesome. He's constantly puts his foot in his mouth. It's so great.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, no, when you're talking to people in your district, what is the feedback you get with Jim Jordan? How are they feeling?
Oh, he's a major embarrassment for Ohioans. I mean, I hear that not just from my district, but all across the state. I mean, we can't stand the guy. Trust me. It's just horrible. And
well, I think a guy that gets away with this stuff for so long because he flies under the radar. He just does nothing. Just stay low key. Nobody will bother me. I'll get my check. I'll get my ego stroked. But then in the last several years, especially with the onset of Donald Trump, he's now flying above the radar. Everybody's seeing who he is. And not just people in Ohio, but people all over the country. All hate this guy.
Yeah, he's so thirsty. He's so thirsty for news that, I mean, he doesn't do his job. I really feel he just wants to make headlines. He just wants to be on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, because he doesn't do anything for anyone here. I mean, no one. It's just terrible at, you know, what a horrible representative he is for the district. I mean, it's just, that's alone is an embarrassment. But yeah. The way he carries himself and, you know, just the total lack of moral character, that alone should be enough for people to not, you know, want to vote for him. But, you know, a lot of people, they don't know how he is, I'm telling you. And this is where that's my job, is to inform the public of what a POS he is, you know. And that's where the fundraising comes in. You know, I've heard people say, oh, don't donate to her because, you know, her district's so gerrymandered. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not here talking to people like I am. A lot of people do not like him. They hate him. You know, everyone has their hot button with him. And, you know, it's my job to present them with the facts. You know, this is what he votes for. This is what he votes against. He voted against the PACT Act, which, you know, would help veterans. He voted against the CHIPS Act, which is bringing like 10,000 jobs to Ohio. Those jobs are going to have salaries of, you know, over $100,000 a year. He's been fighting to get that in our district, and he didn't. He voted against it coming to Ohio at all. And now he's doing the same thing with the space force that they're talking about building in Ohio. He voted against that too. I mean, it's like, why are you there?
Well, you know,
he votes against the farm bill.
That's the thing about the Republicans. They're supposed to be there working for the people of this country. They wanted to pass a border bill to save us from the brown people coming across the border. But when they get the opportunity, they vote against it. And it's just all about owning the libtards. That's their only strategy when it comes to politics. Not policy, not a platform. But did you see how bad she is or how bad he is? And that's just not sustainable. It's not going to work.
Well, I think they have a long game strategy at hand right now, which is they are really gearing their people. They are grooming their people. They are preparing. They're selling their people on the idea that democracy doesn't work. And that is why they vote against everything the Democrats want to do. They do not want a government that works because Trump wants a dictatorship. Right. I mean, we got to look beyond the chaos that's going on. What's really behind, you know, the chaos? That's what we really need to think about. And that is extremely alarming to me. And right. That's what people really need to wake up to. And so, but people need to, and, you know, we were just talking about this, you know, people are working 2 and 3 jobs. They are not staying on top of what they're doing because they're so distracted by the noise of Marjorie Taylor Greene making an ass out of herself or, you know, whatever, or Jim Jordan, you know, but what they're doing behind the scenes is, you know, really what we need to be paying attention to. You know, that's the stuff that I'm really worried about. Right. Do you ever watch that guy from The Daily Show that, you know, he does these interviews with all the Trump Klepper. Supporters yeah. at the rallies? Yeah, I love him so much. He's so funny. But when he interviews people and they say, oh, I don't have a problem with Russians. I don't have a problem with Putin. He's a great guy. I have a problem with Democrats or that crooked Biden. And it's like, oh, my God. I mean, this is the whole failure of the, I blame the Democratic Party because they need to get on point with their messaging. How can they not have a total artillery of messaging going against all of this bullshit? I mean, that is what blows me away.
Well, and there's a lesson to be learned here. The whole reason the Republicans are where they are now or where they were anyway was all about messaging. They have no substance. Yeah. They have no plans. Yeah. They have nothing they want to do. It's all about messaging. And, you know, this is what I try. I get frustrated by this.
And it's,
you know,
working.
It does work. And it does not only work on Republicans, but it works on Democrats. I'll say something and I'll be positive about what's happening. And people will say, well, I hope you're right, but I'm not sure. I heard this. And I said, you have to understand, most of what you hear in the ether there, its origin is Republican. They push it out, they repeat it until people start believing it. Now, of course, Republicans will believe it,
right.
But don't be a dumb bitch and believe it when you're a Democrat. Jesus, how many times do you have to be fooled?
Yeah, well, there's a really great movie about that, and it's called The Loudest Voice. It came out a few years ago. Russell Crowe was in it. Seth MacFarlane was in it. And it talks all about how Roger Ailes got the government to stop having the media integrity laws back in the 80s and how they would start the narrative, you know, the story of lies. And then they show the scene of them in a bar, you know, just sitting there talking. And then they hear the Democrats repeating the lie and they are sitting there laughing. And those are the same strategies that Trump is using today.
Absolutely.
And it is all about repetition. They are using psychology and marketing and repetition. And they are just, that's why I'm really worried about this whole women shouldn't vote narrative that they're testing right now. I mean, for me to hear that from several different men in the past week or two, That's saying something. I mean, they know that women make over 50% of the population. However, we only make up 24% in the Senate and 26% in the House and 30% at state and local government. I mean, you know, women really need to fight for our rights and support other women candidates. That's so important. And you wouldn't believe the stupid shit that people say to me. Oh, Tammy, you're too pretty. Your nails are too long. Your heels are too high. Your lips are too bright. Your eyebrows are too dark. I mean, just stupid. And I'm like, okay, can we get off my looks and, you know, let's talk about the people that are unemployed, that are starving, that can't pay their bills, you know. Can we talk about stuff that really matters here?
You know, it's funny.
It's interesting.
You might be surprised to hear this, but I never get those kind of comments about me. You're too good looking. No, I don't get that. I don't know. Maybe they're just being polite. But, you know, you're talking about the economy and messaging. And here's a good example. We hear today that there are 303,000 new jobs. I mean, this is unprecedented what Joe Biden has done in the, you know, we're talking 16, 17, 18 million jobs in 3.5 years. That's crazy. That's never, ever been done. All the data points suggest that our economy is blowing up. Wages are up. Manufacturing is up. Unemployment is down. Jobs are up. Everything is going that way. But people are still saying, yeah, but the economy. Now, the reason they're saying that about the economy is because of what they perceive as inflation. And I try to explain to people, you're blaming Joe Biden for inflation, but you got to relook at this. We had COVID. People raised
corporate greed.
Right. Well, corporate greed, but people raised their prices during COVID because they could. And then when COVID was over, they say, oh, it's kind of nice. We'll just keep it up there. We're not going to bring it down and be fair. And some people will say, well, that's not fair. They shouldn't be able to do that. Well, you know why they're able to do that? Is because Republicans have taken all regulations, all fear of monopolies and all that stuff, and just let them do whatever they want. And then you go to the second point where, well, I can't afford a house. I can't afford a car. No, of course you can't, because you're saddled with student loans and medical bills, which Joe tried to give you some relief from. But guess what? The Republicans stopped him from that too. So the high prices, the inflation, that's a Republican thing, not the Democrats.
Right. But again, that goes back to messaging. And the reason why they should be hammering that every single, you know, news segment, but they don't.
Right.
And that's part of the disorganization of the party that kind of drives me nuts. You know, with the Republicans, they have one talking point and it goes across the airwaves, 50 million platforms. They're saying the exact same thing. It goes on there through their emails. You always know who's getting the emails because they're saying the exact same thing.
Right.
And then it's on all the social media. It goes on all of their media outlets, everything. But they're all saying the same thing. And, you know, we do not have that organization through the Democrats. And that, I think, is our biggest failure,
yeah,
quite frankly. And they really need to get it under control.
Well, when you're talking about messaging, it's one thing for the Republicans to say what they're saying, but you got to be concerned about the failure of the media. The media isn't like the media was when I was young. There is no Walter Cronkite practicing journalism. There is no more journalism in this country. It's all about inciting people to be afraid and to watch more television, their television. And the fact of the matter is,
it leads.
Right. Exactly. And so they want to create this turmoil or this tribulation that. It's like the Donald Trump thing and him running for president. People are constantly saying,
why they give him so much free airtime. That drives me nuts. I'm like, we don't need a repeat of 2016. Quit putting him on the news.
Well, and that's why
he just says whatever outrageous thing he can. Yeah.
And they love it. That's why I hold the left side media responsible for Donald Trump becoming president. He wasn't a legitimate candidate until they kept putting him on TV and giving him legitimacy. So left side media, fuck you. You're responsible for this. But I personally think, and I'll see what you think. I personally think right now at this point, with all that's going on, Donald Trump is circling the toilet bowl. He doesn't have a prayer to win the election. And people say, how can you say that? Well, how can you say he has a chance to win? He embraced, he's taking responsibility for overturning Roe v. Wade. He's got 91 felony charges. He's having all his money taken away. He's been found liable of fucking rape. I mean, when I was a kid,
yeah,
Gary Hart got caught with a picture with a bimbo on his knee, and that cost him his career. So how is this guy going to win an election with all that shit going against him?
Well, because of messaging. And, you know, there is the psychological thing of the norms and people wanting to belong. And that, again, goes back to the Democrats. They really need to get a handle on the messaging. And, you know, if people are going to believe what they're hearing, and if they're hearing it enough, and then they're believing what they're hearing, that he's doing so well, that he's winning, that they will, you know, it is very possible that they will skew more towards that way because that's what everyone else is doing. You know, I mean, that's a psychological tactic. And, you know, again, that goes back to, that's why I blame the media, the Democrats. I mean, I don't know, but people need to pay attention to what people are actually doing. Not just what they're saying, but what they're doing. They need to look at the character of the people that they're voting for. Is that someone, you know, when Trump was president, my son was 11. I would turn the channel because I didn't want him hearing whatever horrible thing that he was saying, you know, and that's not the example of the kind of man that I want my kid to be, you know.
Oh, no.
And but we've really lost that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, as Marjorie Taylor Greene would say, there's not a lot of decorum anymore. Shit's happening. Now, I will say this. Marjorie Taylor Greene called Lauren Boebert a little bitch. Maybe not under decorum, but certainly fucking accurate. So I have to give her credit for that. Yeah, poor Lauren Boebert. You probably won't get a chance to work with her because she's got no chance to win her election in 2024. But this poor girl.
I can't wait to get elected so I can call MJT a bitch.
There you go. I'm counting on that. But Lauren's got a blood clot now. And then something came out that she was at some Republican event and she was dragged away and kicked out because she was too drunk. Yeah, let's talk about decorum.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was?
No, Lauren Boebert.
Or Lauren.
You know, the one that was groping the guy in the theater. The guy that was, the one that was groping the guy in the theater. Yeah, that's who you want representing.
Can you believe that?
I cannot believe it. Well, let me ask you this. Since you're running against Jim Jordan in Ohio, and since we know what the Republicans do, have you been under attack at all? Have they been coming after you, talking some shit?
I mean, trolls will. Every once in a while, they'll call me a commie. I was called a Marxist the other day. Not too bad.
What do you think?
They come at me sometimes.
Do you think Jim is so arrogant that he won't take you seriously? He doesn't see you as a hurdle?
Okay, so this is the part that I love. He is very aware of me. He does not acknowledge me, but he responds to me. So last summer, I was at the Champaign County Fair where he's from. He's from Urbana, which is in Champaign County. And I went to the county fair, and at these little small town country fairs, they sell off the winning steer.
Right.
And so you can do what's called an add-on where you can like add some extra money. It's like putting on a tip, right? And so I did that. I did an add-on. And so I made the paper. And anyway, so my Twitter team, my X-Men, we put out a video and we're like, yeah, Jim, you're never home. You know, you don't care about Ohio. Well, he came home the next week.
Did he really?
So, yes. And I mean, like I said before, he used my messaging. He was saying last election, he was saying he was the common sense candidate because that's what I always say. Everyone can get around common sense, right? And he was trying to say that he was a common sense candidate. And I'm like, oh my God, you are not anywhere near being anything close to common sense. You
no,
know, he's so radical. Not. And so it's interesting. He will not debate me. At least he wouldn't last time. And if he did, I would have I have a strategy about that. I'm not going to say it on the news because or your show because anyway.
Well,
so
the thing
I don't know.
about
We'll
it is,
see.
I'm surprised he wouldn't debate you unless he's just not taking you seriously. And let's hope that's the case, because that's a sure way to
No,
get your ass kicked.
I think that I'm running such a very, I call it a common sense smart campaign. I don't think he want them getting wind of, you know, I'm not some crazy lefty liberal that's touting the crazy, you
Right.
know, super left things. You know what I mean? So I think that's why he won't debate me. He doesn't want people to see that, oh, wow, okay.
Well, he's got a lot of things.
He doesn't know where to hit me.
Well, and he's got a lot of things he has to cover for if he's in a interview or in a debate. That's why I'd love to interview him, because he loves to talk in circles and talk loud and talk longer than anybody else. And frankly, I've never run into anybody that can talk louder or longer than me. So I'd be the perfect guy to interview him. But all you have to do is pigeonhole him and ask him a question. And this is what frustrates me about the media. They'll ask somebody like Jim Jordan a tough question. He'll talk in circles, and then they'll go on to the next question. What you do in that case, you say, no, you didn't answer the question. Answer the question. And you keep doing it 4 or 5 or 6 times until he's embarrassed. And then he gets flustered. Jim's, you know, whether it be the Ohio State scandal or just some of the ridiculous hearings and investigations, you can ask him hard questions, and he just doesn't have an answer for them. I've seen him interviewed. He looks absolutely foolish.
Well, I mean, just the one he did, what, like 2 weeks ago or something? She totally stumped him. He said, well, you know, half America doesn't believe that. They believe the election was stolen. She goes, no one believes that. And he was speechless. That was so awesome.
So, but see, they're used to them saying these outrageous things and nobody pushing back. And now people
well,
are pushing back.
Well, because they go on their, you know, their right wing media where they support their crazy, you know,
right.
And it was like watching him realize, oh, wow, okay, hold on. I'm not on my normal, you know, news station. And this is a woman that's actually intelligent here. So it was so funny. It was like a deer in headlights. It was great.
Yeah. It's, I'm thinking Jim Jordan is trying to lay as low as he can and just live off his name recognition, because he's got really nothing to crow about in terms of accomplishments. And he's got so many embarrassments. He's not a good candidate at this point, as long as everybody understands what the truth is.
It's a grade of an F. Look it up. He votes against people 97% of the time. He has a grade of an F, and I put that in my ad.
Wow.
Go F. For his legislative effectiveness. He's terrible.
What do you think happens if you win? Do you go through the same thing Joe Biden did? Oh, it was a fake. It's a hoax. It's a stolen election. Do you think he'll play that game?
No. You know, sometimes I think that I don't know if Trump has something on him. I never even heard of Jim Jordan until, you know, the OSU sexual scandal stuff came out.
Right.
And then he really started kissing Trump's ass. So I just wonder what Trump has on him. He's got to be exhausted. I mean, he's losing his hair. I don't know. You know, sometimes I wonder if he's done. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Now, yeah, he may be
done.
I mean,
he would definitely make more money out of, you know, office than in, so.
Well, the other thing that you have to consider, and I know this is speculation, but I feel pretty confident about this speculation. We have the indictment of Donald Trump for the January 6th insurrection, right? He's the only one indicted. And the reason he's the only one indicted is because they want to focus on him. It's more time sensitive. Anybody else they bring into this is going to make it more confusing and drag it out. So they're focusing on Donald Trump. Now, we're all waiting for superseding indictments, meaning sitting members of Congress, meaning Jenny Thomas, meaning Roger Stone, or you know, the guy from the DOJ. We're waiting for that. And the best explanation I've heard is that they're going to do that, but it'll probably come after the election. Now, of those people sitting in Congress, Jim Jordan has to be the top of the list. He was talking to Donald Trump on the phone that day, and he was going through Mark Meadows. Now, the problem with that is Mark Meadows has flipped, and they have all the text messages, and that's how they were communicating. So Jim Jordan is going to be very exposed at that point, and I'm sure he's thinking about that. So it would be horrible if they vote in a guy who's ultimately going to go to prison or whatever, because he certainly could, especially if he's no longer in office.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I mean, this goes to all his integrity too, and
you know, and I talk about that all the time, and that's why the OSU, you know, some people want to blow off, you know, what happened, the OSU scandal, but to me that is extremely important. It is a pivotal, you know, benchmark of his character. That shows he doesn't do what's right when, you know, he has no integrity. He doesn't do the right thing when no one's looking, you know. He turned his back on, and this is what I've been told, that he turned his back on the wrestlers when they, you know, wanted and needed his help and begged him for his help. He recruited these wrestlers and then fed them to a predator.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really what happened here, you know, and I don't know any parent that would be okay with that.
No.
And then
he denied it after it happened because he didn't want
the same thing he did with January 6th and the, you know, the Capitol. You know, he violated the Constitution. He turned his back on the Constitution. Every time he, you know, touts Trump's rhetoric, you know, he's turning his back on the country, you know, it's just so wrong.
I think most people that I talk to, the least that can happen to Jim Jordan is that he loses the election. That's the least that could happen to him. Nobody's going to be happy until he, like all the rest, are held accountable for their crimes. And I realize I'm speculating here, but I feel pretty confident in saying that I'm certain Jim Jordan committed some crimes. And if you're going to vote for Jim Jordan, you're fucking yourself over, because you're going to end up with a corrupt motherfucker that's probably going to have to leave office within a year after he takes office or remains in office, because shit's coming down on him.
Yeah, that's right. I'm excited.
Did you ever wish that Jack Smith would speed it up a little bit and get those indictments out before the election?
I mean, I don't know why it's just now happening, you know. I really, again, why did it take so long?
Well, that
shouldn't be under the wire right now. And, you know, the Supreme Court, you know, Trump's Supreme Court, they talk about Democrats stacking the court. The Republicans already stacked the court.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, let's just be honest about that. You know, you have Thomas who won't recuse himself. I mean, it's hard to look at everything and not get discouraged sometimes. But, you know, somehow we've been able to muscle through things and still come out on top. So I'm just hopeful that will still ring true. But, you know, the way that our government is structured, it's structured in such a way to have those checks and balances. And, you know, they are not checking and balancing. So,
no. Well, I'm curious as to how you feel about this. I personally think one of our biggest problems in this country is our judicial system. For all intents and purposes, it's absolutely broken. We have what we have in the Supreme Court. That's not even a Supreme Court anymore. And if we don't have a Supreme Court, it's hard to have democracy. Yeah. But even in our DOJ, for example, now when Merrick Garland was appointed to the Attorney General, I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good choice. He's a solid guy. He's smart. He's got some integrity and all this stuff. But you're absolutely right in what you're saying, in that why is this taking so long? Well, I'll tell you why it's taken so long, because Merrick Garland got in there. He was worried to ruffle feathers. He was worried about bad publicity, and he waited more than 2 years to even do anything with Donald Trump or the people in Congress. And then when he did do it, he had to hire some other hitman to do it. Thank God he did. But had he done what he was supposed to do initially, we'd be done with this right now, and it wouldn't affect the election. But because of his behavior reticence, we're screwed in that sense.
And, you know, and that's how the Democrats are across the board. I mean, look what they did to Al Franken.
Yeah.
That infuriates me. He was the one guy that would take, you know, the Republicans to task whenever they would start their crazy stuff. You know what I mean? He would really give it to them. And, you know, it's like, they just went searching for something to get on him. And, you know, Democrats, they eat their own.
They do. They do. And personally,
you know, they're going to get angry over a photo from 30 years ago.
But that was a joke.
Guy that, you know what I mean? The GOP presidential nominee has been found guilty of sexual abuse. He has 91 indictments. I mean, the craziness. It just blows your mind.
Yeah,
I
mean, I'm disappointed in the Democrats. I'm disappointed in the Democrats with Al Franken. Al Franken was a good senator. He was a good candidate. He's from my home state of Minnesota. And I'll be honest with you.
I wish he'd come back.
If we were going to elect another old white man to the presidency, he'd be as good a choice as anybody, because he's reasonably minded. He's smart. He knows how to deal with people. He has a good sense of humor. But the Republicans try to run him out on a rail for something bullshit, like you say, a fake picture that's a joke, and maybe he was a little inappropriate, but he was on SNL, for God's sake. What do you expect? And you run him out on the rail. The Democrats say, sure, we'll help you do that. And then they've got a guy who's been found liable. You say sexual abuse, but the judge said rape. They find him liable of that, but they want to forgive him for that. That is just all kinds of fucked up.
Yeah. And then they have other state reps. I mean, look at Matt Gaetz with his sex trafficking. And they want to say that Democrats are the ones that have the sexual ring going on. And it's like, well, Matt Gaetz is the one who's paying them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's the stuff that just, I'm just like, what? I don't know.
I have the sense. I've been predicting, and some people agree with me or hope I'm right. With all that's gone on over the last 3.5 years and all the exposure to all this evidence and all this, these misdeeds and corruption and all that stuff, I think November of 2024 is going to be a watershed moment for this country and the end of the Republican Party as we know it. They've been doing nothing but losing since after Donald Trump won in 2016. They lost in 2018. They lost in 2020. They lost in 2022. And it's gotten worse. And they're going to lose big in 2024. And I think that's the point, finally, that they're going to say, oh, we fucked up. Maybe we should do something different. And then they will. And it'll take 10 years for them to build it back up. I think the Republican Party, and let's be honest, there is no Republican Party anymore, but whatever they're called right now, they're done after November.
Trumplicans.
Well, we have another name for it here. I coined a name for it that's kind of taken off, and I call them Trumpla fucks. And I'm not the most appropriate when it comes to swearing, but that's my thing. But do you see that too? Do you sense that too, that the end is near for what we know as Republican Party or MAGA anyway? I mean, how long can you lose before you give it up?
I don't know. I don't know. I say that because I find it, I've watched people like Nancy Mace, who was elected, you know, to office. And when she first went in, she was very common sense and right down the middle, but now she's starting to repeat all the crazy rhetoric. So I don't know.
For some reason,
I don't think anything will happen until Trump goes away.
Yeah.
whether that means, you know, passes or goes to jail and doesn't have access to a phone.
I personally think I've said this too. I don't know that Donald Trump makes it to the nomination. I don't think he makes it to November of the November election. And I'm not saying he's going to die, but he's 77, going to be 78 years old. He's got 91 felony charges. He's going on criminal trial on April 15th. He is most definitely going to be convicted of some felony crimes. He's got all this money. He's hemorrhaging money. He's got all this evidence coming out. He's not a very emotionally sound guy.
But none of that can stop him from running for president. And that is the freaking problem. And that is why I'm like, why hasn't someone written a bill saying you cannot be president if you, you know, have a felony, or, you know, right, what I mean? That's the part that I don't get.
But I think if you put a 35-year-old guy in good health with all that pressure hanging on him, he wouldn't make it through it. And Donald Trump is a broken man physically and mentally. He's going to make it. Something's going to happen. He's going to have a stroke. He's going to run away. I don't know what's going to happen. He may be in jail for all we know. But I just don't know that he makes it to be the nominee. And the longer it takes to get there, the better, because then the Republicans have to scramble in the end.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out.
Well,
I hope something happens.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it will. I mean, common sense just suggests it. All the indications point that way. I always tell people.
He looks stressed.
Yeah, and what about his cognitive abilities? Clearly, he's losing something because he can't stay on track.
Yeah. Well, who could? I mean,
did you hear this?
It's stressful, let alone having. Imagine, I mean, seriously. Yikes!
Well, did you hear the story? Now, Donald Trump did not want to debate during the primaries because he was too good for that. Now he's talking like he wants to debate Joe Biden, which tells me he understands his desperation. He wouldn't do that unless he thought he had to get one up on Joe Biden, which would be a misadventure for him because he'd look like a fool. But then Donald Trump comes out with something today. And he says, there's one caveat here. I think we should take a drug test before we do the debate, because I think Joe's doing cocaine. Now, think about that for a second. You tell me he's sleepy, he's lazy, he can't talk, he's got no energy, but he's on cocaine. How do those two fucking things come together?
Maybe Trump is doing cocaine. He's always projecting.
And
usually whatever they're accusing Democrats of, that's what they're doing. So, wow, that's interesting. But I will tell you, that's the other thing that irritates me. Why hasn't someone written a bill that says that you have to take a psych eval if you're going to be president of the United States? I mean, if you went to apply for a corporate job at Chase Bank or anything, you know, you would have to take a psych eval.
Yeah.
You should have to do that to run the country.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, if you want to get a dishwashing job at a hotel, they're going to do a background check on you, for God's sake.
You know
what
I mean? I just, right.
Yeah.
And you can't have a felony.
Well, then you throw in the fact that now he's so deep in debt, you know, that puts him at risk, a security risk for this country if he owes everybody money.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I think that's why he's so indebted to Putin.
Has anything, you know, with Jim Jordan, he's your opponent. We know about the OSU scandal. We know he's embarrassing while he's in the House of Representatives. He's a do-nothing guy. Is there any other things that come out about him? Has there been any deep dives with investigative reporters? Because you know there's some creepy, sketchy shit going on with Jim Jordan.
Has there been any investigations about Jim Jordan?
Well, just
anything coming out about?
Yeah, just in his life in general. I mean, if he's this bad while he's in the House of Representatives, he's got the OSU thing. You got to wonder how this guy is leading his life.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, there's so much with the OSU scandal. Right. I haven't heard anything outside of that, or you know, anything that he's done in office. But it's. No, I haven't heard anything,
okay,
different.
Well, I'll look into that, because if we can find some shit, I want to talk about it.
Well, I mean, Abe told me about how he had, they were selling Nike gear, and Nike gave them a cease and desist. Because
really?
They were doing some type of fraudulent printing or something. So, but well, I hate to go, but I have another appointment. I'm sorry I ran over.
No. You didn't run over. I ran over, and that's on me. And I thank you for taking the time to do the show. I wish you the best of luck. I hope probably more than you do that you beat Jim Jordan. We're all tired of his shit.
I don't know about that.
I will put you on the spot before I let you go, though. When you win and you're a representative in the House, you got to fucking come back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have to have a party.
Absolutely. But I want you back on the show, because how cool would that be to have a sitting House of Representative?
Let's go ahead and schedule it, because I am going to beat him.
There
so
you go.
We can go
there
ahead and get that scheduled.
There you go. We will do that. All right. We've been talking to Tammy Wilson. She is running for the House of Representatives in Ohio, and she's running against Jim Jordan. And we wish her, I know we all wish her, a lot of luck. And I'll agree with her. She's likely going to win this one, because Jim Jordan's a special piece of shit. All right. We'll wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.